Hi, Shalom Aleichem. My name is Tanchum Cohen. It's exciting for me, nostalgic almost, to be teaching once again at BRS, at Boker Talmud Synagogue. I have warm memories of teaching at BRS in the early 2000s, both under Rabbi Brander, as well as after Rabbi Goldberg became the senior rabbi. And I'm glad to join you now, albeit only virtually. I understand that your weather is a 74 and sunny. We have snow on the ground out here, so I think you've got the better end of the deal. So I'm excited to join you. And I wanted to take the opportunity today and over the next couple of weeks to explore themes of Galus and Geula. It's very much a part of what's going on in the Parshios as we draw towards the close of Sefer Bereishis and turn our attention to the opening parshas of Sefer Shmos, parshas which we review and focus on as well, not only this season of the year, but of course, the night of the Seder. And I was hoping to give particular attention to the comments of the Ramban on these parshas and to use them to highlight a couple of key themes of Galus and Geula. But the first question really emerges from the way I just laid out where we're headed. Because the odd thing is that we're going to be straddling two different Sfarim of Chumash. We begin this week with the Parshas Vayechi, and then we continue on to Sefer Shmos. And it's striking as we begin to think about Parshas Vayechi, this week's Parsha, with a wide-angle lens. Because we're at the end of Sefer Bereishis. But we don't really seem to be at the end of anything. We're at the end of Sefer Bereishis. Bereishis closes with the Parshas Vayechi, and yet it's such an anticlimactic end. You end with the passing of Yaakov Avinu and Yosef Atzadik, with a focus on the burial of Yaakov Avinu in Eretz Yisrael, but then the return to Mitzrayim. And in Galus Mitzrayim is just beginning. It seems an odd place for a Sefer to end. And perhaps the Ramban is uniquely suited to help us make sense of this, in part because I believe among the Mefarshei HaChumash, the Ramban is one of the first, if not the first, to not only write a line-by-line, pasuk-by-pasuk perush, but to open every sefer, each one of the five chumashim, with an introduction to that chumash, in which he focuses on trying to understand, well, what's Chumash Bereishis about? What's Chumash Shemos about? And the answers to each one are fascinating, and it also bespeaks a certain perspective. The Ramban, it becomes clear throughout his parish on Chumash, that he's interested both in the trees and in the forest. He gives you a pasuk analysis, and will dive into a particular word, but he'll also zoom out to think about what's this whole parak about, what's this whole sugi about, what's this whole sefer about. And so Ramban is perhaps a particularly good place for us to turn to try to make sense of how is Vayechi the end of anything. And so with a special hello to some very old friends, who I'm glad to see have made it down to the warmer shores of Boker Raton, let's take a look at the opening Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, in which, without raising this question, Ramban is going to very deftly give us the tools to make sense of how Vayechi closes Sefer Bereishis, while simultaneously returning once again to what the Ramban has seen as one of the central themes and central tools of Sefer Bereishis. Let's take a look. I hope the font size is the right size, and I hope it's comfortable. If you have a Sefer Chum, if you have a Chumash Bereishis with a Ramban, feel free to pull it out on your own. If you prefer to listen without text, by all means. But if you'd like to follow along, let's take a look together. The opening Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Zayin Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shava Asrei Shana. Yaakov Avinu, this week's Sedra opens. Yaakov Avinu has been in Mitzrayim for a good 17 years. And the Ramban immediately leaps to put this into perspective. Kivar hizkarti, Ramban says, I've already told you earlier, several prakim ago, Ki read this Yaakov le Mitzrayim, Shehu galusenu hayom b'yad achai aravias hiromi. Yaakov Avinu's descent to Mitzrayim, which begins, which occurs in Parshas Vayigash and continues throughout Parshas Vayechi, so that corresponds to the galus that we find ourselves in now, galus Romi, the galus that's been going on for almost two millennia since the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. He references the Chaya HaRavias, he references one of the particularly colorful visions, one of the particularly vivid nevuos, or visions, Baruch HaKodesh, of Daniel, in which he describes four creatures whom Chazal understand to correspond to the four galios that we, Kal Yisrael, have undergone. And the fourth creature in that vision corresponds to this fourth particularly long and particularly painful galus, galus Edom, galus Romi. And the Rambam is about to lay out different features of the story of the descent into Mitzrayim of Yosef and Yaakov and the brothers that correspond, they're a miniature version, a microcosm of the larger story of galus Edom. And in doing this, he's reaching back to an idea that he's quoted throughout his Parish on Breishis. The Ma'asa Avos Simen Labanim. That the events of the Avos are a sign for the children. Specifically, as he already begins to speak about in Parshas Lech Lecha and is repeated again throughout the Parshas of the Avos all the way till here, all the way till Vayechi, that the the events of the Avos, specifically those events which appear in Chumash. Because, you know, stop and think for a moment. This is a comment on Sefer Breishis in particular, and an observation on Chumash and Tanakh in general. You know, we hear so much about Avraham Avinu. So, certainly we've heard so much about Yosef since Vayeshev until now. And yet, how much do we know about them? Avraham Avinu lives for 175 years. He must have uttered millions of words over the course of his lifetime. Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of episodes in the life of Avraham Avinu, in the life of Yosef HaTzadik. How many do we hear about? 5, 10, 15, maybe 20 episodes over the course of Chumash. How many words do we hear out of each of their mouths? You could count them, a couple of thousand perhaps. A tiny, tiny fraction of their lives. Their lives were full of mitzvahs and ma'asim tov, and their lives were full of divrei chachma. We hear such a minute percentage. So the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yudalid, gives us a perspective on this. One of the methodologically most important comments throughout the entire Talmud Bavli, one of the most key comments in terms of methodology for learning Tanakh. The Gemara says, look, there are so many Nevi'im who don't even appear in Chumash. And of those Nevi'im who appear in Chumash or in the Tanakh, we hear such a tiny fraction of their output. So the Gemara says that's right, because Nevuah, Shehutzrucha L'doros Nichtava, a prophecy which was needed for the generations, a prophecy which has relevance for all generations, that made it into the Tanakh. That was canonized in the Chumash, and Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. But Nevuah Shalohutzruch HaNaras, a prophecy which was relevant at the time, which was relevant for its audience, but does not have eternal relevance, Lo Nechtava. It does not appear in the Tanakh. The vast majority of prophecy, the vast majority of the events in the lives of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yosef and his brothers, the vast majority of those episodes are not relevant for us to know. They needed to happen, the Avos needed to do them. But the only events and the only conversations that are recorded in the Tanakh, and specifically recorded in Chumash, those that are recorded are the ones that were relevant then and were relevant for every single generation of Jews from then until now. And so when we look at what's recorded in the Chumash, we ask ourselves, where's the eternal relevance? And the Ramban, in opening Parshas Lech Lecha and continuing consistently throughout the balance of Sefer Breishis up until this very point, up until the end of Breishis and Vayechi, he keeps returning to a comment that appears in the ancient Midrashim on the Sefer Breishis, particularly the Breishis Rabbah, which we mentioned a couple of minutes ago. Masa Avos Simen Labanim. The events of in the lives of the Avos, and particularly those events which are recorded in Sefer Bereishis, they weren't only events that happened to the Avos. They happened to the Avos, but if they're recorded in Bereishis, Ramban says, that means that they are also prophecies for what's going to happen in Jewish history going forward. Ma'asa Avos Simen Labanim. So Bereishis is both, Sefer Bereishis is both a historical record of a number of episodes in the lives of the Avos and their families, as well as a microcosm of hundreds and thousands of years of Jewish history to come. And so here we are, with that perspective, at the end of Sefer Bereishis. So we're at the end of Sefer Bereishis, we're at the end of the lives of the Avos, here we're at the end of the life of Yaakov Avinu, the last 17 years, but we're also, the Ramban says, in the second layer of Sefer Bereishis, in the Simen Labanim, Bereishis as a prophecy, as a foretelling of Jewish history, we're at the last stage as well. Because he says, Vayigash Vayichi, the descent of Yaakov and his sons and his family into Galus Mitzrayim, that's a microcosm of the Galus that you and I are in right now. Red as Yaakov and Mitzrayim once again inside. Who galuseinu ayom? This is our galus, the galus of Romi Harishah. In what way? What are the clues in Chumash? What's the Chumash telling us in these parashas that portend what's going to happen in our galus? Ki bnei Yaakov heim atzman sibuvu riditam sham b'mechiras Yosef echiyem. He says, for starters, we pulled ourselves down. You know, when Avram Avinu heads down to Mitzrayim because of the famine, so he's forced by circumstances. He didn't choose to go down to Mitzrayim. There was no food in Eretz Yisrael. He needed to go down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov flees Eretz Yisrael earlier in his life to northward to Syria to find the shidduch or two or four, but also because he's in mortal fear of his brother Esav. And his mother Rivka tells him, you have to leave. But here, Yaakov and his family heading down to Mitzrayim, hey, matzim sibvu ridit tamasham. They caused it, they did it to themselves. Mechiras Yosef Achiyim. We did it to ourselves. Who decided that Reuven and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda would end up in Mitzrayim? Shvatim. They sold Yosef and ultimately they follow. The truth is that Yosef himself said it to his brothers last week. When he reveals himself to his brothers and they're incredibly frightened, he tells them more than once, whatever you had in mind, you had in mind. Ribbono Shel Olam sent me down here, lemichya. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that I would come down here so that I could support all of you. So I would be in a position to keep the family alive. But lemasa, Yosef goes down and thereby the rest of the family follows. Yaakov Yared Shem Pnei HaRav. Chashav lehi natzel im b'no b'veis oev lo, ki para oev is Yosef, ukebein lo. And let's continue the story, then the Ramban is going to shift to thinking about how this plays out in our contemporary goals. He says, we began the story, the Bnei Yaakov began the story of Galus Mitzrayim by selling Yosef, whom they would later follow. Yaakov goes down because of the Rav. Yaakov thought that in going down to Mitzrayim he would be safe, because after all there was such an incredibly positive relationship between Paro and Yosef, and they also thought that it would be temporary. Yaakov thought that this was temporary, going down for a couple of years. After all, the Chalom Paro, there would be 7 years of Rav. When the Rav will be over, they thought they would come back. How do we know? Kemoshi Amru. Lagur ba'aretz banu, last week's parsha. When Yosef introduces his father and Yosef introduces his brothers to Paro, so they say, Lagur, ki einer el tzor shel avadecha. And there's a lack of grass in Eretz Yisrael, the lack of pasture, ki chaved arv ba'aretz Canaan. There's no food in Canaan. And that's a pasuk that's really not only from last week's parsha, but that's a pasuk that we've heard so many times at the Leil HaSeder. It's a pasuk that the Medrash of on Arami Ovadavi, which forms the core axis of the Magid, This is how we know, as the Medrash comments, that we didn't go down Lehishtakeya. Yaakov's initial intent was not to settle. We ended up staying for hundreds of years. But the original intent, as Yaakov says, is Lagur. We came temporarily. But, as we know, Hinei lo alu. We didn't leave. We didn't leave anytime soon. Aruch aleim agalos. The galos went on and on and on. It was a lengthy galos. Umesha. Elo atzmosav. Yaakov passes away, as we know in Mitzrayim. And he's buried in Eretz Yisrael. He's buried in Eretz Yisrael. You know, Rabbi Schechter likes to quote from European Darshanim. The Gemara says, Gemara beginning of the fourth paragraph of Brachos tells us one of the patterns, one of the concepts that underlies the fact that we have three tefillos, Shachris, Mincha, Marav, morning, afternoon, night. The Gemara says one of the correspondences of that is Avram Tikin Shachris, Yitzhak Tikin Mincha, Yaakov Tikin Marav. That Avram Avinu, the first of the Avos, was the one who was responsible for instituting Davin Shachris in the morning, Yitzchak Davin Shachris in the afternoon, and Yaakov Davin at night. One wonders what's the meaningfulness of that correspondence. Is it just that Yaakov, Avraham Avinu came first, so Shachris was still open, and Yitzhak came around, and Shachris was already taken by Avram, so he took Mincha, Yaakov took Marv. What does it mean that Avram is the morning tefillah, Yitzhak is the afternoon tefillah, Yaakov is the night tefillah, particularly since elsewhere the Gemara says Avram davened Mincha as well? It sounds like there's some deeper correspondence. Rabbi Schechter likes to quote from European Darshanim, that it's really that the life trajectory of each of the Avos corresponds to those three time periods. Morning, afternoon, and night capture the trajectory of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov's lives, respectively. Avram Avinu is the beginning of something totally new. Avram describes the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah as a new light to the world. He's coming and teaching monotheism. He's teaching Hashem Echad to a world that did not know of that. He starts something, a new enterprise, like the new light of the morning. Avram Tikin Shachris. Yitzchak's primary avoda, Yitzchak's primary contribution was to continue the Masorah of his father Avram. He'd like the afternoon, continuing the work of the morning. Not a new light, but a continuation of daylight. And finally, Yaakov Tikin Arvis. Yaakov crafts Maariv. Yaakov establishes davening at night because Yaakov's life was more a life of the night, metaphorically speaking, poetically speaking, than the other two of us. He's the only one who went into Galus multiple times, as we've just discussed, and as Ramban just points out, he's the only Av who passes away in Galus. So his was the less of the Lahagid of Boker Chasdecha. Yaakov's life was more the Emunascha Balelos, of relying on faith in Ribbono Shalom, even when things are poetically speaking, nighttime. When things aren't so clear, it's hard to see the Ribbono Shalom. The Emunascha Balelos, we can still rely on our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when his hand in our life, is not as obvious. So that's Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Yaakov is very much the Av of the night. His life is a life of night. His life is a life of gulls. And the Rabban says, looking at this picture specifically, the last couple of parshas, specifically this gullus of Yaakov to Mitzrayim, together with the family, he thought it would be brief. They did it to themselves. They thought it would be brief, it would be temporary. It lasted far longer. Yaakov Avinu personally passes away in Mitzrayim. But, this week's parsha stresses that his remains are brought back to Eretz Yisrael, and the Torah goes out of its way to stress that Ziknei Paro Visarov, back in the language of the Ramban, the Ziknei Paro Visarov He'eluhu, and he was accompanied back to, the processions accompanied from Mitzrayim back to Eretz Canaan with great pomp and circumstance, with a number of members of Paro's cabinet, his elders, his ministers, but also Emo Evel Kavod. There was a tremendous amount of kavod shown to Yaakov Avinu by Paro's government. So says the Ramban, this captures significant features of our galus. V'chein anachnu imromi ve'edom. And so it is for us as well. He says, the galus that we find ourselves in, which began with the destruction, the sack of Yerushalayim, and the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash at the hands of Rome, says, Achenu hasibonu biyoseinu. One way to punctuate this. We, or our brothers, our Jewish brethren, we caused it to ourselves. He says, if you go back to the history, you remember that the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period, we were not a free and independent people. During the period of the Bayis Rishon, we were a free and independent people. Most of the centuries of the Bayis Rishon, under Shlomo HaMelech and subsequently under different kings. If you come back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, we were part of the Persian Empire. The Emperor Koresh had given us religious freedom at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash period and stayed for Ezra and Nehemiah. He had given us the freedom to return to our homeland, to return to Eretz Israel, to build the Beis HaMikdash, but we were a province of the Persian Empire. And then Persia is overtaken by Alexander, and now we're under the power of Yavan. And that goes from one emperor to the next until finally the Chashmonaim revolt. And that's the beginning of the second Commonwealth. That's the beginning of the second period of the Jewish people being sovereign in Eretz Israel. And that lasts for a chunk of the Bayis Sheni period, from the story of from the Nisei Chanukah, but not all the way until the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, because before that point, the Rome had already moved in long before they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and they had taken increasing control of Eretz Yisrael slowly, slowly away from the Chashmonai family, the great-great-grandchildren of the original Chashmonaim. Agrippas HaMelech HaAcharon, he says, we did it. We reached, and we reached out to them. It wasn't that they just invaded and fought us. The Jews initially invited the Romans in. Karsu brisim aromium. We had made a treaty with them. Agrippas HaMelech HaAcharon the Bayis Sheni, the last of the Jewish kings of the Bayis Sheni, the very end of the family of the Chashmonaim. Baruch Halem LeEzra. Agrippas sought support from the Romans. The story of the later generations of the Chashmonai kings, long after the holy Chashmonai of Nes Chanukah, it becomes very sad. There's an incredible amount of sinas chinam, of sinas achim, the hate between brothers. Sometimes, literally, there were brothers who were members of the royal family who were fighting against each other, and they invite Roman power in. And he says that was foretold in these parshas. There was sinas achim, there was enmity between the brothers, between the sons of Yaakov Avinu, that hatred, that rivalry led us down to Mitzrayim. We sent Yosef down to Mitzrayim, and as a result, the rest of us followed. We caused the galus. We caused the galus of Yaakov and his family to Mitzrayim, and we caused galus Edom. We caused the galus of Rome. We invited Rome in, and then they didn't want to leave. And then, as we mentioned, the next stage of the galus that the Chumash is describing, Yaakov and his family follow Yosef down. Why? Because of famine. So says Ramban, wow. U'pnei harav nilkudu anshei Yerushalayim. The next stage of Galus Edom was also caused by famine. Initially, the end of the last of the Chashmonai dynasty invite Rome in, but Rome moves in increasingly, and Herod and others, and then ultimately Yerushalayim falls to the Romans. Why? As we know from the Gemara, tells us the stories in Maseches Gittin that we often review on Tisha B'Av, Kamsa Bar Kamsa. There was the Romans set siege, and there was famine in Yerushalayim. Mipnei harav, much as Yaakov and his sons head down to Mitzrayim, mipnei harav, because of famine. Mipnei harav nilkedu anshei Yerushalayim. The Jews of Yerushalayim at the end of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash are captured or overcome, are sacked because of famine. The Hagalos Arach Aleinu. And we know that from then to now, it's been incredibly long. Ramban lived Rabban lived many centuries ago. In his time, Galus Edom had already stretched for well over a millennium, and by now it's been almost two millennia. Lo no dakitzo, and we don't have a sense of how long this Galus will be. Kishar HaGalus, unlike the other Galios, Yirmiyahu prophesied at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu, one of Yirmiyahu's most famous prophecies is Old Shivim Shana Efkod. Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Jewish people through Yirmiyahu HaNavi that it's going to be 70 years of Galus following the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and then Rosh Hashanah is going to bring us back and we're going to have a second Beis HaMikdash. Historically, there had been a Machlokas HaTana'im, whether Yirmiyahu's Nevuah applied only to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, or did it apply to the second destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash as well. No one less than the Tana Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that Yirmiyahu's prophecy applied to both Galios. Rabbi Akiva thought that the Galos that followed the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Roman Galos, would be very short. 70 years and then we would be back. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us. That's why Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion, the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses, the Rambam discusses, very into the Mishnah Torah. Rabbi Akiva thought that Mashiach would come around the year 140, 70 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's where Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochva was Mashiach. Here's a Jew who's leading a revolt against the Romans, who's putting, restoring Jewish sovereignty, ready to build the third Beis HaMikdash. The timing is right. It's around 70 years, close to 70 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that Yirmiyahu's Nevuah of 70 years of Galus applied to both Galios. The other Tanaim disagreed. Gemara Sanhedrin says, the other Tanaim told Rabbi Akiva, we have a tradition that the Mashiach will not come before the year 4000, which on the Christian calendar is 240. So they told them we have another century at least until Bias HaMashiach. Another century at least, they tell Rabbi Akiva, until the year 240, until the earliest time Mashiach could come. And unfortunately, here we are, it's been almost 2,000 years. Rabban says this Galus has stretched for a very long time. Lo no dakitzo, long, and its length is also undetermined. We don't know, unlike Galus Bava, we don't know how long it's meant to be. Very much like this Galus in Mitzrayim. Yaakov and his sons come down, they thought it would be brief. Lagur baretz banu, but it wasn't so brief. And finally, the praises, that brief telling of the story of Yaakov and his sons from before, the Ramban had ended by saying, they were there for a very, we were in Mitzrayim for much longer. Yaakov was in Mitzrayim for 5 years. It was much longer than that. Like he opens Rabin 17 years. And he closed by his summary by saying, Yaakov passes away, but his bones are brought back to Mitzrayim with great state kavod. So look what the Ramban does. Now, in the Chumash, it seems as though, and this is how we started, Vayechi seems to close Sefer Bereishis on a very, very sour, a somber, sad note. The passing of Yaakov, the passing of Yosef, the burial of Yaakov, it seems so negative. Seems like such a, we're in the, Galus Mitzrayim is just beginning, and we're ending on such a sad note. How is this, where's the closure to Sefer Bereishis? Take a look, Rabosai, at what the Ramban does in the next couple of lines. Using this this lens, this perspective that he's been already employing, of Ma'ase Avos Simen Labanim, of understanding that these episodes in Sefer Bereishis are also microcosms, miniatures of the stories that would happen to Klal Yisrael as a whole, he says, how does Sefer Bereishis end? How does Vayechi close Sefer Bereishis? Yaakovinu passes away in Eretz Mitzrayim, but he's buried back in Eretz Canaan with great kavod, says Ramban. If you're looking at the story as it continues in Chumash, this is the beginning of Galus Mitzrayim, and will be there for another close to 200 years. But the Torah specifically cuts Sefer Bereishis over here, because Ma'asa Avasim Labanim ends over here. Sefer Shmos is not part of Ma'asa Avasim Labanim. Rabban explains next week. Well, with Blinetter, we'll see next week what Sefer Shmos about. That's a different structure. This is the end of the Ma'asa Avasim Labanim. The close of the story of Sefer Bereishis brings us to the close, to the climax of Jewish history in Olam Hazeh. And it's an incredibly positive end. Because he says, look, on the one hand, we've been in this galus for a long time. Much as Yaakov was in galus for much longer than he anticipated. He thought it would be a 5-year stay in Mitzrayim. It was much longer than 5 years. And Yaakov Avinu passes away in Mitzrayim. But his atzamos return to Eretz Kanaan. So Ramban says, what's the poetic correspondence to that? So he says, Anachnu bo kemesim. Ramban says, and Ramban wrote this 800 years ago or so. He says, we feel like this is a time of terrible pogroms and terrible oppression. He says, we, the Jewish people, we find ourselves in galus and we feel like goners. Omrim yavshuatz mosenu nigzarnu lanu. We feel as though our bones have dried out. According to Pasuk in Yechezkel, I think it believes this is a Pasuk that we laned this past week, or a few Pesukim before this past week's Haftarah. Yavshuas Motsein Nigzarnu Lanu. We feel as though dry bones. Paraglamazite includes both the Haftarah of Vayigash and the Haftarah of the Atzamos Yevashos, the dried bones. And he says, that's what Klai Yisrael feel like. It's for so many centuries, we felt like we were just stuck. Kemesim, it's all over. Dried out bones. And you remember that Nevuah of Yechezkel that we lay on Shabbos Chol Moed, where Kadosh Baruch Hu shows Yechezkel a vision, a valley full of dry bones. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel, HaTechiyena Atzamos Ha'ila, you think these bones could come back to life? Yechezkel says, Rebosh, you tell me. And the Kadosh Baruch tells Yechezkel to be misnabe over the bones, and the tissue of is restored, the body is restored, and then he's misnabe again, and he returns ruach, and it becomes from a valley of dry bones, it's transformed into a valley of living human beings, living spirited human beings. So he says, What Parshas Vayechi is telling us is it's going to come a point in galus where we feel like we're kemesim, and we feel like we're just reduced to atzamos. But v'yalu osanu mikol. But the end is incredibly positive, because the bones, come back to Eretz Yisrael. Not only do the bones come back to Eretz Yisrael, but both Jews and non-Jews participate. Non-Jewish heads of state. Zikne v'sarei paro participate in the return of the Atzmos Yaakov, the Atzmos Yisrael, to Eretz Canaan. And as the Torah stresses in the Psukim, and as Ramban highlighted earlier in his summary of Vayechi, Evel Kaved, this incredible amount of kavod shown by Zikne v'sarei paro to the Atzmos Yisrael, to the return of Yisrael to Eretz Canaan. And it's Chazal Kama, the Goren HaTad, and all the local, all the kings of Canaan and so forth, they all put their crowns there. V'yalu osanim yikol ha'amim minchal Hashem, v'yilahem evel kaved bir osam kevodenu. He says, the end of this story, the Kavuras Yaakov, is meant to poetically capture, it's in terms of the history of Galus Mitzrayim, we're just at the beginning, but in terms of the lens of Sefer Bereishis, we're at the close. And it closes with the return of Atzmos Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. It closes with events that we have been zoche to begin to see over the last century. To see the return of what seemed like dry bones, dry Jewish bones, to Eretz Yisrael. People who were like bones, post-Holocaust, there were people who looked like walking skeletons. And in a larger sense, the Klal Yisrael, which as Rabban says, Yechezkel tells us, we're going to feel over the course of centuries and centuries of Galus Edom, like we're all dried out and hope is dried out, and Rebbe Shalom is going to bring us back. And bring us back when it looks like there's nothing left, and there's plenty left. And we'll be brought back HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get a seat away. We're brought back to the efforts both of Kalal Yisrael and of Umos HaOlam. And things will develop to the point where will develop to the point of Geula Shlema. Things will develop to the point of Bias HaMashiach and a full restoration of Kalal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, a full restoration of Olam HaZen, its perfected state, which after all is the significance of Yimos HaMashiach, and it will be Nikmas Nachnu Nir'eh B'Nikmas Hashem. We will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu exact justice against those who oppressed us, and that will be the cause of their Evel Kavei. They will show Kavod to us, and it will also be an Evel Kavei to them, to the oppressors of Kal Yisrael, when they suffer the justice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts upon them. Yikimenu V'Nichye Lefanav. May we be Zoche, Ramban says, to see very soon the completion of the incredible, the Nevuah, which is the incredibly positive close of Sefer Bereishis. And with this lens, with this perspective, Bereishis ends on an extraordinarily positive note, and it ends with an exceptional sense of closure, because we complete the stories of the Avos, and thereby complete the Nevuah of Jewish history, leading us up to Shivas Tzion and Bias Mashiach Tzkenu. And both, I want to thank you so, so much for participating. It's really been a pleasure to get together with old friends and with new faces alike, and to at least vicariously join you in the warmer shores of Florida. Looking forward to continuing next week at the same time, continuing themes of Galus and Geula as we transition next week to Sefer Shmos.